God's grace, His mercy, His peace be yours today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
On this July 4th weekend, we're thinking about our country, I'm sure, a lot. And I think we can give thanks to God for a lot of the victories we've seen recently through America for peace in the world. I know since Trump came in, he has been very much after keeping world peace. And we've seen he's been working hard to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. Not quite there yet, but working on it. Stopped the war between India and Pakistan. Stopped the war between Rwanda and the Congo, which have been going on for 30 years. And then most recently between Iran and Israel, and what's being called the 12-day war now, where basically Israel went in there, as you know, and took out all of their air force and their military commanders. Iran launched some rockets into Israel. The USA then went in there and destroyed Iran's nuclear sites and capabilities. And just when it could have, you know, erupted into something and escalated into something terrible, well, Trump wanted to make a deal, as he always does, and had it over in 12 days. So we're very thankful today, I think, on this July 4th weekend that there's much more peace in the world in a lot of ways, and for those kinds of victories God's given to us. But since Israel has been a lot in the news lately, I thought we could talk about Israel and America's relationship to Israel and a Christian's relationship to the people of the state of Israel. What should be our perspective of that as Christians and as Americans and as a country? Because I know Israel is one of our closest allies, right? And so we do generally support them in pretty much everything. The question today I have for you is that a requirement, though? You know, I think it's good that we are supporting Israel and stuff like that. You may agree or disagree, but the question today is, what about the must? Is it a moral obligation? Do we have a religious duty as a country and as Christians to always support Israel and everything? Is it a spiritual requirement of God? Is it God's command to us as Christians and as America that we must always support Israel in everything, in every situation, at all times, no matter what? I bring that up because there's something in America, especially amongst American evangelicals, called Christian Zionism. You ever hear of that? Christian Zionism? It said that 25% of all evangelicals in America believe in Christian Zionism, which is basically the belief that we have a spiritual obligation, a moral duty. We are obliged, duty-bound by God to always support the state of the nation of Israel, no matter what, in every case and situation. And why? For four reasons, okay, basically. The first reason is because they say the nation of Israel and the people who live there, the Jews, are God's people. Okay, that's number one. Therefore, you must support them, because to go against the people of God is to go against God. So you're morally duty-bound to always support Israel. They are God's people, period. The second reason is because they say the land of Israel, that part of the Middle East, was given to the Jews or to the people of Israel by divine right in the Bible in ancient times, and therefore we must support that, their place there, on account of God's divine decree. Thirdly, because there's a promise, they say, in Genesis 12:7, that if you, and 3, that if you bless, 12:3, that if you bless Israel, so they read it, then you're going to get blessed. But if you curse Israel, you're going to get cursed. So they say, if you want to actually get blessings and not curses from God, you better support Israel, the state, at all times, in every situation, in every case, no matter what. And fourthly, the fourth reason is because they say, well, we have to support the state of Israel against all their enemies because that's the only way we can have it so Christ can come back. Because they say that the state of Israel has to rebuild the third temple in Jerusalem, you know, kick out the Arabs, the Islam, build it on the Dome of the Rock where the Temple Jerusalem used to be, rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, restart animal sacrifices, bring back the law so that the Antichrist can come take a seat there, Christ can come and get rid of the Antichrist and establish his kingdom. So for those four reasons, one out of every four American evangelical Christians believe you must support Israel in every case, in every situation, no matter what, duty-bound spiritual obligation from God required for those reasons. They're God's people. They have the land by divine decree that you must support them in order to get blessed and not cursed, and so that you can help it and make it so Christ can come back. Those are pretty strong reasons if you think about it, if you believe those. What about us, though? Are we Christian Zionists? Am I a Christian Zionist as a Lutheran Missouri Synod? And does our denomination believe in Christian Zionism as we've laid it out here? Well, the answer is no. We may support Israel. We may like Israel as our ally. We may want to support them with common national interests and such. But we do not support, or I do not support, this Christian Zionism, as I've just explained it to you, that we have to, duty-bound, always support Israel in every case, no matter what, no questions asked, just has to be done. We are not Christian Zionists. So why is that? Well, let's take a look at that today and see about America's relationship to Israel, a Christian's relationship to Israel, Christian Zionism. So first of all, let's get the bigger picture. Why did the Jews have to be brought back to the land of Israel? Let's get the paint the historical picture. First, let me ask you a question, and Kevin, we're going to keep you awake here. Did God give the land of Israel to Abraham and his physical descendants in ancient times? The answer is yes, he did, actually. Genesis 12 here, when God sent Abraham there, go from your country, etc. He said in verse 7, he sent him to the promised land and said, when the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. To the physical descendants of Abraham. And you know, did the descendants of Abraham live there in Israel in ancient times? Mm-hmm. Yes, they did, of course. Of course, then they went down to Egypt for a sojourn there for 400 years. God brought them back up to the land by Moses and in by Joshua. Okay, did the physical descendants of Abraham remain in the land? Answer, Jeannie?
No.
They did for a while, for centuries, but there came a time when they were kicked out. Actually, God kicked them out in 722 BC by the Assyrians, 597 by the Babylonians. So they were there, in, and they were out. Did God bring them back after he cast them out into exile for their sins?
Yes.
Vivian?
Yes.
Yes, actually he did. Actually, he didn't bring them all back, but he brought some of them back to their land in the days of Cyrus, king of Persia. You guys are good. You know your biblical history. They were there all the way until the days of Jesus and 40 years after his life, death, and resurrection. What happened 40 years later in 70 AD?
Titus came.
Okay, General Titus. You could write the whole sermon. So General Titus of the Romans came and he conquered Jerusalem, destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, and the Jews were dispersed into the various countries. So what has been the case there for the Jewish people since, well, for almost the last 2,000 years? They have been a homeless people, a people without a country. Scattered throughout the countries of the world. So now we come to Christian Zionism. What is that? Well, that was a movement that started in the mid-1800s, especially in the United Kingdom, as well as in America, by certain persons, especially the Puritans, who started to seek to restore the Jews to their homeland in Palestine. In the UK, it was by Anthony Cooper and people like that promoting it, and the U.S., Louis Brandeis and others, return the Jewish people to their homelands in Palestine was the call. What do you think might be one of the problems with that, Mark? At least...
There are already people there.
Yeah, there's people there that's living there for 2,000 years, and they're like, we're pretty happy here without the Jews being here. And so they still don't like it, as we know, looking at the news. Why did some then want to return the Jews to their land? Christian Zionist movement, to move them back to that ancient place. Well, there are all kinds of people and all kinds of reasons. Adolf Hitler wanted to move the Jews back to Israel, but that's not because of any spiritual moral obligation. He just hated them. He didn't like them. Get them out, send them there. The Rothschilds, that evil family over there in Europe, actually funded much of the return of the Jews to Israel. I'm not sure for all of the reasons. But for others, there were spiritual reasons seemingly good to return the Jews to their land. What were the reasons again? Number one, they are God's people, is the call of the Christian Zionists. They are the physical descendants of Abraham. Are they the physical descendants? Then the land is theirs by divine right and decree. If we send them there, we're going to get a blessing. Where did they get that? Well, in Genesis 12, look what God said to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I'm going to make your name great, make you a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you, I will curse. And by you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So the Christian Zionists, the one-fourth of every American evangelical, is going to say, you have to bless Israel, because if you bless them, you'll get blessed. If you curse them, you're going to get cursed. So you better support them in absolutely everything, no matter what, if you want to get blessed and not cursed by God. And then again, they want to usher in the faster the return of Christ. What is that belief again? That's the belief that amongst the American evangelicals that the Jews have to rebuild a third temple in Jerusalem. So that way the Antichrist can come and take his seat there, proclaiming himself to be God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And therefore the Lord Jesus can come and slay him by the breath of his mouth and destroy him by his appearing as his coming. So you got to get the Jews back to Israel so they can build a temple so that the Antichrist can come, so that Christ can come. That's a strong reason many will support Israel. John Hagee, ever hear of that guy? Short, stout, kind of heavy-set guy, big booming voice. He created the Christians United for Israel that boasts 10 million members. There's only 4 million Jews in the United States. So that's way more than twice as many Jews as there are of evangelical Christians in that organization. Promoting Israel at all costs, at all times, no matter what. So did Christian Zionism do what it set out to do? Get the Jews back to their ancient land of Palestine.
Yep.
Well, obviously, we got the State of Israel today. In 1917, Britain declared that we're going to get the Jews back to Israel. U.S. declared that in 1922. And when did that happen? May 14th, 1948, the modern State of Israel was established, and there had been some movement of the Jews back until then. And then Benjamin Netanyahu has said, I don't believe that the Jewish state and modern Zionism would have been possible without Christian Zionism. Christian Zionism is what got the Jews back to their land, that land, and it's what promotes them and American policies to this day. And in fact, it's been said in Washington that the lobbyists are so strong for Israel that almost every member of Congress has a pro-Israel lobbyist assigned to them, so that all things done by the American government is going to be supportive and favorable to Israel. What about you and me? Where should we stand on this? Well, I am not a Christian Zionist, even though I really like Israel and I think they're a great ally and maybe we should be supporting them in everything, and that might all be good, but for those spiritual reasons, that's not where our denomination lands, and so let's understand why. What are some of the reasons that Christian Zionists claim they should support Israel, and what would be a biblical response? Well, number one, they are God's people. The people, the Jews who live in Israel, are the physical descendants of Abraham. They are God's people, therefore we must support them, lest we go against God, because they're God's people. What do you think about that one? Are the physical Jews living in Jerusalem, or sorry, in Israel, actually God's people? Well, they would claim to be, right? And they would claim, a lot of them, to be physical descendants of Abraham. But that's maybe not so clear-cut of an answer as one might like to think. Because when they left Jerusalem in 70 AD, a lot of the records of the genealogies were obliterated and destroyed. So it's hard to prove that they're pure bloods back to Abraham. And then also in Europe, if you know historically, the Jewish Encyclopedia said that a large portion of Egypt, of Europe, Russia, Crimea, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, were converted to Judaism in the days of the Khazars in the 8th century. And so a huge portion of those Jews in Jerusalem, in Europe are not actually pure blood at all, not even any blood to Abraham. And a lot of those are those who have returned to Israel. But it's hard to know. I think maybe some of them are pure blood, some of them are not. It's not easy to discern. But the question is, does that make them God's people? Purity of blood according to the line of Abraham. More on that in a moment. Let's consider the land. Did they get it by divine decree? Well, in ancient times, God did say to Abram, to your descendants, I will give this land. So they did remain there, as you said a moment ago, right? For many centuries. Did they remain there? Well, let's remember that the promise to God's people of old that they would remain in the land was conditional. Say the word conditional.
Conditional.
In Leviticus 18, for example, God said to them through Moses, don't defile yourselves by any of these things, for all the nations I'm casting out before you defiled themselves, and the land became defiled, so I punished its iniquity, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. But you shall keep my statutes and ordinances, and do none of these abominations, etc., lest the land vomit you out when you defile it, as it had vomited out the nation that was before you. So, notice, God owns the land. God gave it to the physical descendants of Abraham under the condition, if you obey me, you'll keep it. If not, it'll vomit you out. And then God brought them back, and etc. But to always support Israel at all times, because the land is theirs by divine right, no matter what they do, well, God doesn't support that, because if they don't do right, he has cast them out before. But let's get back to now to, are they the people of God? Well, were they obedient in ancient days? In ancient days, you know, the whole history of the Jews, unfortunately, was that they, well, this people has turned away from me, Jeremiah 8, to go into perpetual backsliding. Stand by the ancient roads and look for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in, God said, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in. God says, I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not listen. And God says, this has been your way from your youth, that you've not obeyed my voice. And so they were cast out of the land. And then God graciously brought them up, but did they obey when they came back? Well, in the days of Jesus, they rejected the Messiah. They crucified him, and they spit upon the Christians. Are they then God's people in ancient times, and are they God's people today? Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? The people of Israel, the physical descendants, let's say they are pure bloods of Abraham, does that make them God's people? Well, according to the flesh, in one sense, yes. But according to the spirit, in that sense, no. Romans 11. Paul says, as regards the gospel, they, the physical Jews, are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they're beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. So, Jewish people around us today, Jewish people in the state of Israel, they may still be beloved by God for the sake of their forefathers. God's promises have not failed. He still does have a regard for them, but according to the blood, that does them no good. Because they're enemies of God for the sake, for having rejected Christ. What did Jesus say to the Jews when they claimed Abraham is our father? Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth, which I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You do what your father did. Your father is the devil, and he's a murderer, and you seek to murder me. Then he says, he who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. It's according to Jesus. If you're a physical descendant of Abraham, but you reject Christ, are you God's people?
No.
No, you're not of God. You may have the bloodline, but that does you no good. John the Baptist said, do not presume to call Abraham, to say Abraham is our father, for God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. You got to believe on the Christ if you will be God's people. So that brings up a good question for us. Who is God's true people? Who are the real descendants of Abraham? Who inherits these promises? Christians. Those who believe. The Christians who call on Christ as Lord and Savior. Jews, yes. Gentiles, yes. All who call on Christ. That is true Israel. Those are God's true people, not physical descendants. The Jews, even if they have a certain special place by blood, not by spirit. Therefore, we are not duty-bound to always follow them on everything simply because they're God's people, because spiritually, actually, they are not. If they did something wrong or evil, then we do not want to be partners with them in crime. What about this word of blessing, though? Remember, if you're an American evangelical, Christian Zionist, you're going to say, you got to bless them if you're going to get blessed, or you're going to get cursed if you curse them. Well, for one reason, we don't have to worry about that at all, because Christians, we don't curse anybody. Do not return evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, says Peter, for to this you've been called that you may obtain a blessing. We're not cursing anybody. We want Jews and Gentiles in this country saved. We want their blessing. We pray for that. We want the Jews in Israel to be saved. Come to Christ and be saved. We want you as our brothers in the Savior. So we're actually blessing them anyway. And besides, that blessing was given to Abraham specifically, not to all his descendants. And what about this third temple thing? Do we really have to have a third temple? Maybe there will be, maybe there won't be, but I don't think we need one. Why? Because that scripture about the Antichrist coming in, setting himself at in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God, has already occurred. I preached on that to you a few weeks ago. The temple of God is the church. The Antichrist has come and set his temple there, proclaiming himself to be God, the Pope of Rome. The good news about that is we don't have anything else that has to happen. For our Lord Jesus Christ to come and save us and bring us the kingdom, we're not waiting for a third temple. If there is one, okay, we'll see how that goes, but we don't need it. That scripture has already been fulfilled. So what should we say about Christian Zionism is that on each of these counts, they are warped. They are not scriptural things, even though one out of every four American evangelicals will hold to those things, we don't. Now, you might be for Israel. That's great. I think that's great. If we want to have them as our close ally, if we want to support them in the various things where we have similar national interests, great, but not for those reasons held by the Christian Zionists. But now let's talk about the really, really good news. The Christian Zionists, in the ultimate reality of that word, though, what's that mean? That if we want to love and bless the people of God, God's own, let's bless the Christians and the church, made up of Jews and of Gentiles, all who trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. That's true Israel. Amen?
Amen.
Paul says in Romans 9, not all are children of Abraham just because they're physically his descendants, but through Isaac shall your descendants be named. This means it's not the children of the flesh or the children of God, but the children of the promise are reckoned as descendants. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, says Paul. So you see that it's men of faith who are sons of Abraham, who are, excuse me, so it is men of faith who are the sons of Abraham. If you want to be true Israel, believe as Abraham believed in the Christ. Mm-hmm. And if then you are Christ's, if you are of him, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So let's rejoice in the true people of God, the real descendants of Abraham, Jews and Gentiles who believe as Abraham believed. That's true Israel. And what do you get if you're true Israel? You get the true land's promise. What is the true land promise? Well, Paul makes that clear. He says, the promise to Abraham and his descendants that they should inherit the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Paul says it wasn't really ever about the Middle East patch of real estate, although it was for a time. That promise was really ultimately about inheriting all things in Jesus. And that's to the church, to true Jews and Gentiles who believe in Christ as Savior. For God didn't spare his own son. If he didn't spare him, but gave him up for us all, it, won't he also give us all things with him? If you want to be a Christian Zionist, rejoice in God's people, true Christians. Rejoice in the new true land promise, which is all things, the world, the universe, the new heavens and the new earth to come. And as for this blessing, I'll bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. That's ultimately about Jesus Christ. For Paul says, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It doesn't say into offsprings, plural, referring to many, but referring to one, singular, and to your offspring, which is Christ. That's what the promise was about. The promise was that if you bless Christ, you will be blessed. If you curse Christ, you'll truly be cursed. So come and one and all and bless Christ and find your blessing in him. For by this one, the offspring of Abraham, his descendant, Jesus Christ, shall all the families of the nations be blessed. Jew and Gentile alike, come one, come all, and be saved in Jesus. If that's what it is to be a Christian Zionist, I'll be one 100% with you. So, in conclusion then today, America and Israel, we're going to have a relationship as countries down through the next set of years. And if they are our close ally and we agree with them and what they're doing, that's great. I would support that. That's marvelous. But we don't have to, under moral obligation, in every case, in every situation, no matter what, go with Israel if they do something that's wrong, that's not right. We would not be partners in crime. But in the meantime, this should be our attitude as Christians towards the Jews who live there. Let us pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's good. And for all the Jews who live in that land, and all Gentiles everywhere, that they might repent of their sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved with us, because we've been grafted into their tree, and they've been broken off through unbelief. But they can be grafted back in, says God, even so marvelously, because they're the natural branches. They can be grafted back into their own olive tree if they believe and call on the name of the Savior. And we'll pray for that. Peace and mercy, therefore, be upon all who walk by this rule, says Paul, upon the Israel of God. Amen.